Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Thursday morning, wet Thursday morning, March the 14th, 2024, 11 minutes past the hour. You're tuned into WGH Talk Radio, and we thank Marion County Prosecutor Ray Grogan for being on in hour number one this morning. And for people who didn't know, you heard it here this morning, for as much as Ray could tell us, that Marion City Auditor Miranda McGinnis is under an investigation. And what will come of that? Will come of that. It is not complete at this point for people who thought it was complete, and we'll know what we will know when we will know it at this particular point, and that's for Marion County Prosecutor Ray Grogan. So there you have it. But it is political season here in Ohio, a primary coming up next week, and in the big congressional race here, certainly that covers Marion County, we have a Democratic primary. Tammy Wilson and Steve Thomas, and we've talked with Tammy in the past, and it's great this morning to have in studio for the first time, Steve Thomas. Mr. Thomas, thank you for coming in.
Scott, thanks for having me.
Good to have you here. I guess we'll start off the top here. Tell us about yourself.
I live in Delaware County with my wife, Jana. Actually, I live in Powell. I have four kids. Two of them are still living at home. They're teenagers. Educationally, I have an undergraduate degree in government from the College of William & Mary in Virginia, and I have a master's degree in computer science from American University in Washington, D.C. I moved to Ohio about 30 years ago and started an e-learning software company. And we grew that from inception to become an international company with offices across the United States, Europe, and Asia Pacific. When we eventually sold the business, by the time we had sold the business, we created over 250 high-paying, high-tech jobs. For about the last 7 years, I've been working with blockchain, which is the technology behind Bitcoin and cryptocurrency. So that gives you a little background about myself.
So at this point, no political background. Why have you decided to jump into this arena?
Well, first of all, what I did, I could say, as a small child or an 11-year-old, my father got into politics. And he would take me around to all the different events, and so I helped him on his campaigns. And eventually that's why I ended up getting a degree in government from an undergraduate school. So I was always interested in politics. And when I lived in Virginia, while I didn't run for office, I did get actively involved in organizing things in the county that I lived in, which was Prince William County. When I moved to Ohio, because I was a CEO of a business, I could not really get involved in politics because you don't want to alienate your customers. But now that I'm not a CEO of business anymore, I've been very knowledgeable in watching politics just like everyone else, and I finally got to the point last year where enough was enough, and I felt like our country was going in the wrong direction, and I wanted to do all that I could to help. And so that's why I jumped into this race.
Why this particular race? Because I know of well-known Democrats in the area, people who are office holders, who wouldn't want to touch this particular race with a 10-foot pole because this is the Jim Jordan district. And that's a rough way to go, a lot of people feel.
I agree that a lot of people are like that, but with my personality, I feel that we should not let somebody like Jim Jordan go unchallenged. I think we should bring up what some of the things that he does. He really is not representing the district. He spends more time representing Donald Trump. And I think that we weren't calling him out enough, and I wanted to go in and do all that I could to do that. I believe the 4th District needs better representation, and that's why I wanted to go, even though I know it's difficult. that doesn't mean you don't try, and I think that's what we should be doing.
What is the problem with Jim Jordan for people who don't follow politics as closely as others?
Jim Jordan's been in office for 17 years. He's now in his 18th year. We know that he is very right-wing. The problem is, and if you look at us in that live in this district, we have to depend on him to represent us. In his 17 years in office, he has not sponsored a bill that affects the district. He has actually sponsored three bills that have actually gotten to the floor of the House of Representatives, and they were all three passed. The first one was back in 2007 or 2008. They had a he had a bill that he had sponsored that would send the thoughts and prayers to Ohio, because we had just had a terrible storm come through, knock out our power for a couple of weeks, and a lot of people remember that. And so that was one. He got Congress to send the thoughts and prayers. The second one was he got a post office named. The third one was the creation last year when they had the creation of the weaponization subcommittee, which he now chairs. Those are the only three things that he, in his 17 years, he's gotten to the floor. He does not provide the representation. We are a district that is heavily it's heavily agriculture. In with that, he has not voted for the farm bill or any other ag bill to support our farming community. And I believe that we deserve better. And so that's the problem with Jim. He really doesn't spend his time representing the people of this district, not like they should be represented.
You know what's interesting? Last night we had Mary Ellen Withrow in, and normally she's very measured in what she says about politics. And last night we did get into a conversation on air about Jim Jordan, so none of this is off the record stuff. But she said she is ashamed that Jim Jordan is her congressman. That's a pretty bold statement from her, or for her to make. But yet, Democrats just don't do well in those races, in that particular district, in this particular district.
That's true. Jim Jordan, it's interesting. It depends on who you ask. If you ask a Democrat, then they're going to say, you know, they don't like him. The problem is the registered Democrats only constitute 17% of the voters in this district. Now, more people than that tend to vote Democratic, but it's only 17% of the registered. 33% are registered are Republican, and about 50% are independent. Now, when I've gone out on the campaign trail, I've noticed a couple things. If you talk to somebody, we'll call them the MAGA crowd, that 33%, you're not going to sway them whatsoever. They're going to vote for Jim Jordan. They think he's wonderful. But the real target is that 50% that aren't registered either Democrat or Republican. And when I ask them questions, like I've gone into some of the agricultural communities and I've asked them questions like, what do you think of Jim Jordan? And the response I get is, well, he's kind of embarrassing. And then what you find out is, then I'll follow up with a question to the effect of, so why do you vote Republican? Well, Democrats don't understand us. And so they'll tend to vote their values. And even if it's in their best not in their best interest, they will vote their values. And their values are very rural, conservative, and based on their Christian heritage. And that is where the battleground is. It's going to be between that 50%. And they're not that wild about Jordan. And one of our jobs is to convince them that we Democrats serve their best interest.
How do you overcome the numbers you just gave us, and how do you show them that Democrats are for their best interest?
Well, a few ways. The first thing is, if I'm fortunate enough to win the primary next week, then, you know, in the past year as I've been campaigning, the audiences I've talked to have all been Democrats. So, you know, whenever I say things, they'll in agreement, they'll cheer, they'll clap, that sort of thing. But that changes. And I think one of the things we have to do is we have to go into the rural communities. We have to go into more conservative organizations. And we have to present our case. And we have to talk about issues that are important to them, not the hot-button issues that divide us. I think that's quite important. I think the second thing that's going to be very important if to get our message out is we're going to have to raise a lot of money. We have to get our message out. We not only have to knock on doors, but we also and be willing to go speak in very difficult or contentious environments. We also have to be able to present our message using, you know, whatever type of marketing that we need to use, and that can get quite expensive. So that's how you get your message out. You have to be willing to go in and talk to them, but you also and go into hostile places. But we'll also have to raise a lot of money.
Want to talk about the primary here in just one second, but one thing that people feel that Jim Jordan has that is very hard for any other candidate to get in this particular race is he's on national television, he's on the national programs, we saw him a lot this week in the special counsel hearings, he's right there, and it's hard to get that kind of face time.
Yes, it is. It's actually, that's one big advantage you have. And any incumbent has that advantage. They're going to get far more press time. And so when I said we have to raise a lot of money, and that is to support our marketing effort, and that will be to match what he does, what you see him getting access, whether it's on Fox or some of the other TV stations. We're going to have to do the same thing to get our messaging out. But for us, we're going to probably have to spend a lot more money.
How do you raise that money? Because that seems to be the name of the game now in politics.
Yes. One of the ways you raise it is in this district, there's people that do like Jim Jordan, but once you get outside, what you find is not only in the district, but also outside the district, people despise them. And so one of the things your money will come from a lot of people who want to see us have better representation in government. And that will come from all over.
Now, we do have a primary coming up. Tammy Wilson is in this primary. You and she ran against Jim Jordan last time. What's your feeling? Why are you the better person to face Jim Jordan in the fall than Tammy Wilson?
To beat Jim Jordan, it will require a candidate that can resonate with our rural conservative community. I'm a moderate Democrat. I have a great deal of experience not only in business, but also since I created a company that was an international company, I had to go out and open up markets in other business and other countries. And if you look at our farming community, what you find is that 30% of all the agricultural products produced here in Ohio go into the international markets. And so I have experience in opening up those markets, and I think that I can do that. The second, help them with that. Being a CEO, I think, really helps out a lot. I also have a very good education in government and a lot of experience. The second thing is I think that a moderate Democrat will resonate a little better. Over the last election cycle, Tammy's already run against Jim Jordan, and he got almost 70% of the vote. She got a little over 30% of the vote. When you lose by 39%, that's already huge, and I believe that if she runs again, that'll be the what you're going to find is that the voters have already, they know who she is, and they're for them to take the same two candidates and have them run again, I do not expect different results than we found last time.
You described yourself as a moderate Democrat. As opposed to her, what are the differences?
The differences won't be in something like, do we believe in women's rights? We both believe in women's rights. We believe in a woman's right to manage her own body. We believe in their rights to equal pay and equal opportunity. The difference is in our focus. I believe that, yes, I do spend some time attacking Jim Jordan for what he does, but my platform is based on focusing on the 4th District, in particular, focusing on economic opportunity in the 4th District, because that's been neglected. And being a moderate, and so it's really where we focus. I focus on issues that I believe are important, kitchen table type issues. These are issues that are not just Democratic issues, but these are issues that are important to Republicans. Having good jobs, they're important to independents as well. And so the biggest difference is where we focus.
With the presidential primaries pretty well all locked up as of Tuesday, it's debatable what the turnout is going to be for our primary. Do you think this could have some effect on what goes on?
As far as who wins,
because I think people might have expected a larger voter turnout being a presidential year, but now that doesn't seem to be an issue. Will that affect voter turnout?
Yes, historically, first of all, you got to remember that we Democrats only constitute 17% and of the voters in the district. Generally, if you look at the previous election, there were just under 300,000 people who cast their votes. In the Democratic primary, we're expecting 25 to 30,000 people casting their votes. Will it be substantially less than that? Probably not. Will it be substantially more? No. You generally get very low voter turnout, and now that they've got it locked up, I would expect even fewer people. That being said, one of the things that is driving people to the polls is in many areas, they have other things that are important. For example, down where I live in the Powell area, we live in the Olentangy School District, and they have a bond issue that's on the ballot, which is a big issue, and that's going to drive a lot of people to the polls, especially in the southern Delaware area. There are other towns like in Lima and other where they have other races, and they may pull people into the polls based on the local races. But the presidential race is not going to pull anybody into the polls.
You know, it's very interesting because since 2016, which I think is where we can track this back, the down-ticket vote in Ohio has been a very heavy thing, certainly in Marion County. If you look at the presidential vote, if you looked at the gubernatorial vote, if you look at the mayoral votes in certain cases, if you look at the city council votes, it's almost the same percentages. And being a presidential year, and Donald Trump faring very well in Ohio the last two times, even though he did not win election last time, he did win Ohio, and I believe by a larger margin than he won it the first time. How do you get past the down-ticket vote in November?
I think that's the real challenge here, because a lot of people will go in and they'll either vote D or R, and they a lot of people don't even think about what they, you know, they're just going to vote for their party. But that gets back to an earlier question you asked, and that is how do we convince voters that we are the right party? And what we have to really focus on is getting the message out and showing that we can do a better job of representing them. And it gets to not only crafting the right messages and making sure people understand that our focus is on the 4th District, on their issues, and to try to get the rhetoric or the tense rhetoric out of the conversation. I think we can pull some voters to our side, but it's basically going to be on how we focus, and it's also going to require, like I said, a lot of money, marketing-wise, to get our message out, to make sure people know what we stand for, and I mean, that's what it's going to take.
Last year, we saw an interesting ripple, certainly in Ohio politics, when it came to a woman's right to choose. Because that passed, it passed overwhelmingly, and clearly that had to be with some Republicans, and former governor of the state, Bob Taft, told me that he voted yes on issue one. So and this is the great-grandson of William Howard Taft. It's a very interesting issue. President Biden brought it up in the State of the Union last week. A lot of Democrats feel this is the issue that they can win with in 2024.
The abortion issue?
The abortion issue. That if you are for a woman's right to choose, even though that may not be on the ballot, as it won't be here in Ohio this year, that's going to mean something to women who vote.
Oh, absolutely. And the reason being is, look at what happened in November. We went to the polls. We overwhelmingly supported a woman's right to reproductive freedom. We made it a constitutional amendment. And now if you look right here in Ohio, you look at the just some members of our legislature are still trying to enforce the six-week abortion ban. So the fight's not over. And because it's not over, it will be an issue. As long as the other party tries to deny those rights, and until we can get it settled, I think it will be a big issue, and I think a lot of women will vote for candidates who support a woman's right to reproductive freedom, and that will certainly boost a lot of Democratic candidates.
Is that something, if you get through the primary, that you will focus in on?
It'll be part of what I focus in on. My big focus of my platform is to not focus on constantly just attacking Jordan for his behavior, but really to focus on issues that are important to the 4th District. Those issues that are not Democratic issues, they're not Republican issues. What they are issues that are kitchen table type issues that are important to all of us. That'll be the bulk of my campaign. But I also want to make sure people understand that I am for a woman's right to reproductive freedom as well as her right to equal pay and equal opportunity. I also support LGBTQ rights, the right to live however they want, and the right to have access to the health care that they need. Those are all issues that are important, and I will continue to bring those up. But my big focus is on providing economic opportunity to the 4th District and focusing on after 17-year hiatus to bring back focus on the district we represent.
With the primary coming up next week, we have some interesting things going on here in Ohio. We have the Senate race, the Republican primary going on there, which is getting very contentious. We have a state rep race here in Marion County with Tracy Richardson and Weslyn Davis. That has become extremely contentious at this particular point. Does it have to be that way? Is this just the way politics has to be in 2024?
It doesn't have to be that way. I think if we can get, and one of the things I want to do is get away from that, get away from the attacks, start to focus on issues that are important to all of us. Because if we continue to attack, we're just going to continue to put that divide up between us, and Democrats won't perform any better this time than they did any other time in the district. And so what we have to do is take the contention out of it. Focus not on saying how bad Jordan is all the time, but say, okay, if I'm elected, this is what we're going to do. This is what my focus is going to be. And it's going to be in representing all the people of the 4th District. And so what I would like to do is set the narrative. And if we can set the narrative, then we can set it about talking about issues that are more important to everybody in the district. If we let our opponents set the narrative, we're going to get into very bitter fights. And I think that's the way this is how I'm going to try to solve that problem.
A lot of people, I ask that question because a lot of people who do not like Jim Jordan and who would not like to see him reelected have never understood why the I guess we'll call it a scandal that he got tied up with in with the OSU wrestling issue has never been pushed any harder by any of the people running against him, because this has been a while ago and people feel that he knew more than he has said he had known. But it doesn't seem to get brought up a whole lot, and people feel this is a kink in his armor.
excuse me. It is. If I think what's happened is he had about 180 of the wrestlers. The issue was they looked up to Jim Jordan. They looked him as a fatherly figure. And when they asked for his support, he didn't give them their support, and they were crushed. And because they knew he did know about this, because they had conversations. Why haven't we? And actually, we do bring it up. It's very rare that, certainly as I've been campaigning, and both myself and my opponent, we do bring this up on a regular basis. But over the last, I guess over the last year, we've been speaking to mostly Democratic audiences, and those audiences have been very, very receptive. I think that's going to change dramatically once we get past the primary. It's going to be an issue, a big issue. You also have the George Clooney documentary that is owned by HBO that focuses on this very subject, and I don't know when it's going to be out. I think we were talking to the lawyers who represented some of the wrestlers. They had thought that they had indication it might come out in September of this year. And that's going to supposedly focus on Jordan and his role in the scandal. But I don't have any more information than just hearsay at this point. But it needs to be a big issue, and I think it's going to be, as we get closer to the election, I think it's going to be a much, much bigger issue.
Certainly, if that does happen, and certainly in September, with the election in November, George Clooney produced a documentary on HBO, I think that would have people talking. I would think there's no way around that.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, the big question with that has always been, and I think to this day, and Jim Jordan was on this show one time and we talked about it, is that he denies knowing anything, that he didn't know. I think that's still his stance on the whole thing. Do you believe that's possible?
No. I used to wrestle in high school, and it's not possible. You can't, you just can't go around the locker rooms. People talk, they talk to each other, everybody knows what's going on. No. Anybody who's been in any athletic locker room would know that everybody would know about it.
Why do you think he's been allowed to evade that for quite a while now?
Well, I think it gets back to exactly the question you ask, and that is, why haven't you heard more about it? And the truth is, nobody has come out and attacked him on it. Nobody has repeatedly attacked him and trying to get him to answer the questions. And he refuses to address them. But I think if it's constantly put in front of him and we do make it an issue, we should force him to answer the question. And if he can answer to his benefit, well, then do it. But the bottom line is he hasn't been challenged on it, and he should be. And I think he should be made to answer those questions.
Do you think the media has been fair when it comes to the races that he has had? We see him on television a lot, but not his opponents.
One of the things that you got to remember, this district is one of the most gerrymandered districts in the entire nation, and the district is really set up for him. Because of his position, he's actually raised quite a bit of money. So he spends a lot of money with the media. And I think that because of that, he probably doesn't get attacked as much as he should, certainly with the local media. And he's not called on the carpet as much. And because I think he has been somewhat popular in the district.
He has a very bombastic personality, but yet I don't think he's debated in quite a while. Is there any way to get him to debate?
He's going to avoid debating me, especially if he thinks he's got the upper hand. There's no benefit in him debating his opponent. If we can make inroads into voters, and we can make the race a lot tighter, then he would debate us. Prior to that, I think he'll avoid trying to debate us.
When putting together your campaign, what was most important to you as you assembled your team?
Well, it depends on what stage. I think at the beginning it was, you know, because I was an unknown, how do I become I would want people involved who could help me get introduced, certainly to the local parties. There's 13 counties in this congressional district. And so the first thing I had to do was go introduce myself. And so that's what I focused on. As we've gotten more into the race, it's people that can help us organize at the county level to not only get our message out, but to make sure we're at the right events. And then now, especially after the first of the year, it's we're starting to focus on how we raise money. And it's important at this stage of the game to put in the right infrastructure for trying to raise money, because it's going to be a very expensive race, and that's going to be key to our staff.
It's as you say, very tough race. It's Jim Jordan. Everybody knows the name at this point. But in this primary, why do you think you have attracted the people you have as opposed to Tammy Wilson?
Well, we focus on different issues. She'll tend to focus on issues related to women's issues in particular. She focuses on a lot of the what I would call hot topic type issues. I've been focusing on kitchen table type issues. That's not headline attention grabbing political theater, but you know what? They're issues that are important. And so I might not come across as an exciting candidate, but I think people appreciate starting to focus on real issues, because once you get into office, what are you going to do? What do you stand for? And what I want to do is bring attention to the 4th District, focus on economic opportunity, which is a very broad topic. And so I'm going to attract people that are going to be fairly serious about, hey, yeah, that's what we need to do. We need to get back to the business of running the country. And that's the type of person I believe I attack, more of the moderate type person. And I believe there's quite a few of them in this district.
You know, it's interesting. When we have a presidential year, you will hear a lot from young people that this is the first presidential election I have voted in. I've already started to hear that from a few people. They get registered because it's the biggest turnout we have in 4 years. What is your appeal to the younger voter? And honestly, most younger voters I talk to now talk about third parties. They talk about these sort of things. How can you appeal to the younger voters who may be first-time voters this time around?
Younger voters, they tend to be a little bit jaundiced towards both parties, because they see all the rhetoric and the shouting and whatever. And they're focused on issues. They tend to be more issue-oriented, whether they're concerns about the environment or the climate, whether there are women's issues. They tend to be very issue-focused. In other words, they want to see people do something. and they want to know that the people they're representing are going to protect their the climate, that are going to put those things in place that are important, that are going to focus on helping them when they come out of school to get a job. These are issues. They tend to be issue-focused, and so as opposed to focusing on the older party issues or liberal concerns, they want to know that they want to know where you stand on each one of these issues. And so that's how you attract them. You attract them by letting them know that you those issues like climate are very, very important, and that you're going to work for them to do that.
Another issue that faces Democrats in particular, and obviously the 4th Congressional District goes beyond Marion, but we can speak about Marion because that's where we are right now, is that the local Democratic Party here in Marion and in some other places almost seems to be non-existent at this point. And if you've got nobody on the ground who you can go to and say, hey, you know, in this county that I'm running in, it's a big part of my race, can you help me? And there's five people at the meeting. How do you overcome that?
When that does happen, you've got to set up your own organization to go into these communities. What I'm finding, though, is that even for places like Marion, which the Democratic Party hasn't been that active, but I was at their meeting week or so ago, and where previously you would expect to have 5 or 10, all of a sudden you've now got 20 people that are at these meetings, and I think because of what you're seeing, and one of the reasons why I got into the race in the first place had to do with I want to do something, and you're starting to see a lot more people show up. And so the Democrats are actually getting more and more people to start participating and helping out. But in those cases where you don't have it, you have to go in and set up your own organization and get people to actually do the things that you would normally expect a local party to do.
I do want to get to some of these local issues here before we run out of time in the next 13 minutes, but we've talked about the presidential race and the down-ticket vote there, but this year, particularly in Ohio, we've got a Senate race. Senator Brown is running for re-election, and obviously he's got three people vying for the opportunity to face him in this particular primary. Former President Trump has been here supporting his candidate. Governor DeWine supporting his candidate, not the same candidate. Let's just talk about that for 1 second, and then we'll get back to Sherrod Brown. What do you make of that, the divide there between Governor DeWine and President Trump on this Senate primary?
It's an interesting dynamic. What I think it tells you is that I think Governor DeWine tries to toe the party line, but it looks like he has certain lines that he doesn't like to cross. And I don't know, I'm sure he tries to support Trump, but I think that, he's got a candidate. He thinks the candidate will probably have a better chance of winning in Ohio. And that's who he's, I'm sure, put his support behind, whereas Trump is probably more interested in somebody that's going to support him lock, stock, and barrel. And I don't think DeWine always toes the line for Trump. And I think that's where the divide is. Generally, Trump will have a lot of sway, but I think if the Republicans wanted to put up a candidate that would have a better chance of winning, I'd probably go with DeWine's selection. He knows the state better.
Sherrod Brown is one of the last statewide Democratic office holders at this point. Clear the Republicans want to take him out in this election. He's been there for a while. He does not want to go. A lot of money, by all accounts, is going to be spent in this race. And maybe it will be even more important than the presidential election on what happens election day here in Ohio in November. How closely do you line up with Sherrod Brown, and do you think he can help in this particular race, a tough race in this district?
The answer is, do I think he can help? Oh, yes, I think he can help. As far as me lining up with Sherrod Brown, I think we line up very, very well. He tends to focus on issues that are important to the state of Ohio. And he, if you notice, he doesn't get caught up in a lot of the back and forth rhetoric. He's always been a person that has been strong union, strong family supporter. He resonates across the board with not only Democrats, but independents as well. I tend to focus on the same issues, not because I went out and tried to align myself with Sherrod Brown. It's just because it's just that's what I've thought was important to the 4th District. And so I think we line up very, very well, and I think that we can complement each other as we run for office.
Specifically for people listening in Marion or anywhere else at this particular point who might be in the voting area, what specifically are the issues that you can help with and things you can change for the better for their lives?
What I've decided is that, you know, when it comes to being a representative, the first thing that I would do is being elected is, as opposed to going in and trying to write all sorts of bills and whatever, I would go in and try to make friends. Because nothing gets done in the House of Representatives, where you have 435 members, that things are not going to get done unless you can build alliances and whatever. So the first thing I'd want to do is that, and then find out where there are grants available, where we can put in earmarks, things that would specifically help the district, and particularly our local communities. I would help in one of the certain things I would support would be things like other infrastructure packages. For example, you've got an ethanol plant that came about through Democrats supporting infrastructure. Those are the things that I think we should be doing to help local communities. Finding out where there are money to bring back into the community for specific projects. Not exciting stuff, but that's what, because all of that leads to not only better community and better infrastructure and better schools, it also leads to better jobs. And those things will be very, very important. And that's how I can help. I'm a businessman. I started a business from scratch and created an international company. And as a congressman, I'll bring that same type of know-how, and I think that's how I can help out.
You say not exciting issues. How do you make them exciting enough to where people want to turn out to vote for them?
I think if you go to people, or you're going and you're telling that you're showing them that this is really where we're focused, and you make sure that you tell them the types of opportunities that you're looking for, and that it's going to be better than sticking with the same old politics, the same old insider stuff where we're fighting with each other. I think people are ready for a change. I think people are getting tired of the shouting back and forth. They want to go back to something normal. And I think that will bring a lot more people to the polls. And I think that could, just changing the rhetoric, I think could help out a great deal. And letting them know you're a candidate that's really not going to participate in that.
Is voter turnout a big deal to get people out to say, okay, I want, you're going to vote for me. We need more Democrats to turn out.
Yes. Generally, larger turnouts favor Democrats.
I ask that because in Ohio, we voted twice for President Obama as a state. We have voted twice for President Trump as a state. We voted twice for George W. Bush. We voted twice for Bill Clinton. So we can be a swing state. A lot of people feel we are not anymore. Do you feel that Biden has a chance here, which certainly would be good for all Democrats in Ohio?
Yes, I think he does have a chance. It's certainly not out of the realm of possibilities. I believe that Ohio is a purple state, and what you just described was a purple state. You described, you know, Democrats that were governors, Republicans that were governors. We have a Democratic senator. We've got a Republican senator. So it is really more of a purple state. One of the reasons we look so red is because the state is so gerrymandered, not only at the federal level, but also at the for state races as well. And so because of that, we look like we're a very red state. And we did go for Trump in the last election. But I think what you've seen over the last several election cycles is that Democrats have done about 11% better than what was expected in their favor. I mean, remember the red wave that was supposed to happen in 2022? Generally, in off-presidential election years, the opposing party generally does much better, and they did not at this time. I think that bodes well. I think what you saw also in November, where we put a woman's right to reproductive freedom on the ballot, and we got 57%. I think that is a really good sign, because I think those same people are going to come out, and I think they'll vote for Biden because he's going to support those issues as well. So it is not out of the question that Biden would not win the state of Ohio.
It's very interesting because this presidential race, I was talking to a younger voter, somebody in their 20s, who this will be their first presidential election that they will vote in. And they had told me that they were thinking about voting for a third party candidate. That was their idea for the reasons we talked about earlier. But then they said, you know, the more I've paid attention to this, this is not an election like other elections, that this could be the end of democracy, is what they've said. And other politicians have said this, that if Donald Trump is reelected, this is gone, that this is a dictator, this is the end of democracy. Do you feel that's the case?
I feel that if Donald Trump gets elected, I think the first thing he's going to try to do is exactly what he said he's going to try to do. What did he say? He said he would get rid of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. He would have them executed or something to that effect. He would get rid of his top, 500 opponents. He's made all sorts of bombastic statements. When somebody tells you who they are, I would believe them. And so I think we certainly have a great deal of fear in what he would do. and I think that when it came to other elections, do you think that somebody like that would try to stop elections? I don't think it's out of the question. So I think we'd be in – I think he would try to do some very dictatorial things. And if you look at the 2025 project put out by the Heritage Foundation – that's pretty onerous, and they really do want to turn this into a – if you look at it, I read it as they want to turn it into a autocracy. So, yeah, I think it's something to be concerned about.
We've got about 2 minutes left here. What is your confidence level in the primary next Tuesday?
Good question. I do not know. I feel pretty good. But I don't know. I think there's a good chance that I've been coming on strong over the last couple of months. And so I think that I have a really good chance of winning this race.
And for the people listening right now, with about a minute left to go, why should they vote for you on Tuesday?
Thanks. I believe I am a qualified candidate. I believe that, the real question you have to ask here is who has the best chance of beating Jim Jordan? I believe not only with my experience, but where I focus, I think that's going to help me. I think that's going to help me in the primary. I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought. Please ask the question one more time.
Why should people vote for you on Tuesday?
Sorry. The reason being is I think I can resonate with the rural conservative voters much better than my opponent.
And it will happen on Tuesday. Steve Thomas is the candidate in the Democratic primary for the 4th Congressional District, and we will see what happens on Tuesday. We hope to speak with you again as time goes on. It's been a pleasure to have you in here this morning.
Scott, thanks for having me.
And that will be all for today. For me, Linda Sims, Voice of a People, up next, and Adam the Computer Guy today at 12:15. Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
The Talking Place from Charlie Evers.
You could come in handy, too, with that electricity. If we have problems with our transmitter, which is above you, Yeah. All you'd have to do is raise your hands and energize our transmitter.
To formerly of WNCI, Weasel Boy. Is that true? I've never asked that question on air before, by the way, but...
I can tell.
I wasn't even sure how to word it.
When the way your arms got going, I forgot.
He's
never asked anybody that question.
I wouldn't even know. To 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow. Do you think he needed her after that primary election?
Yes, and I think I go back to Abraham Lincoln when it's the